This is Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Your host, Joshua Toomey, bring you epic rants, anecdotes, and interviews with heavy hitters from hardcore to hair metal. This is Talk To Me.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Talk To Me, the official podcast of MetalNexus.net. Make sure you're heading over to MetalNexus.net for all of your news, reviews, interviews, and the archives of the Talk To Me podcast. This is episode 176 with good friend of the show, Glenn Benton of Deicide, talking all things Deicide, Corey Taylor, the new album, Deicide Pancakes, Deicide Tampons. We have so much fun. It's a laugh riot, always with Glenn Benton on the episode. And I hope you guys enjoy it, because this is not only episode 176, this is the 3-year anniversary of Talk To Me. I need sound effects. 3 years, I've never had sound effects. I did have that Beavis and Butthead soundboard one episode, but I need more sound effects. I need some more production value in this game called Talk To Me. But I do want to say thank you to each and every one of you out there that has listened over the last 3 years to at least one episode, one or two episodes, this episode, the original Glenn Benton episode, or whatever episode you came in on. It's been fantastic, and it takes me to places I never thought. Backstage at Louder Than Life.
Louder Than Life, bigger, better than ever. Kentucky's largest rock festival, September 28th through the 30th at Champions Park in Louisville, with special appearances by Nine Inch Nails, Alice in Chains, Godsmack, Deftones, Shinedown. Louder Than Life with Nine Inch Nails, Alice in Chains, Godsmack, Deftones, Shinedown, Breaking Benjamin, Slash, Bush, Ice Cube, Billy Idol, Primus, The Return of Five Finger Death Punch, and a special appearance by Limp Bizkit. September 28th, 29th, and 30th, Nine Inch Nails, Alice in Chains, Deftones, Godsmack, Five Finger Death Punch, Limp Bizkit, and more. Go to louderthanlife.com for all ticket, lineup, and festival information.
Cheap plug right there. Nice insert of the commercial there. But yeah, man, backstage at Louder Than Life, the Rockin' Pod Expo, talking to you guys at shows, going out meeting rock stars here and there. It's been so much fun doing the podcast for the last 3 years. And I think it's come a long way from its humble beginnings, from a $25 mic bought off of Amazon and our 10-year-old desktop computer to I've upgraded the system. What can I say? I've had a lot of fun doing it. And once again, I hope you guys enjoy listening each and every week. Like I said, we've got Glenn Benton of Deicide back on the show coming up soon. But first, let me talk to you about my good friend Scott Bowling down in Atlanta, Georgia. Yes, the host of Good Company with Bowling, who I hung out with at the Rockin' Pod Expo, had a few beers with, had some dinner with. So much fun seeing Scott in person, and it looks like I'm going to try to go down early next year to be a guest on Good Company with Bowling, his great show on YouTube, and scottgoodcompany.com. Past episodes with Eddie Trunk, Rich Ward of Fozzy, LeJean Witherspoon of Seven Dust, Elias from Nonpoint, the list goes on and on. Make sure and go check out his archives. And he has future episodes, looks like with Jose Mangan, and another episode with Rich Ward of Fozzy. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure, check it out. Good Company with Bowling on YouTube. Let him know Talk To Me sent you, and that will be much appreciated. Again, guys, if you've listened each and every week and you want to support me, make sure and head over to patreon.com/talktome and sign up. It's like a nice subscription service. Get yourself some bonus content here and there. I need to get better at that. I do need to get better at that. But it's like a digital hug, digital tip jar, digital thank you. And Talk To Me. Patreon.com/talktome. Head over there, pick out a tier, a couple of bucks a month. You won't even notice it's gone, but if everybody collectively does it, I'll definitely notice each and every month. So if you found value in the show, kick a couple of bucks at it. 3-year anniversary, man. Going through the guest list off top of my head. Max Cavalera 3 times. Phil Anselmo. Rita Haney and Bobby Tongs from the Pantera camp. Rob Flynn, awesome. Jim Brewer, one of the early guests that's got this podcast on the map. Even the original Glenn Benson, man. Glenn is a person that I've loved for so long, since the early 90s, being into death metal, being into heavy metal. Glenn Benson was always a character back then, and obviously, anytime he wants to promote anything, he's more than welcome on the show. As you guys will find out coming up on the podcast, we were laughing the whole time. And once he found out, or once he remembered who Talk To Me was, who I was, he dropped his guard a little bit, and we had a whole lot of fun, man. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Let's check out some classic Deicide right now, and I will talk to you guys momentarily. Everything on that Legion album is classic. I love it, man. So yeah, so Deicide, one of my favorite bands of all time. Glad to have Glenn back on the show after so many years. It's been a couple of years ago now, but I still get people talking about the original Corey Taylor comments And so that was huge in the last 3 years. Brian had Welch of Korn coming on. You know, the list goes on. Even, you know, the friendships that I've made through this. Reaching out to James Morris of Downset. You know, being able to call him a friend now. You know, he asks about how the kids are doing now. Stuff like that. Early episodes, you know, I got to say a huge thank you to Barry Donegan. Episode one of Look What I Did. When I came up with the harebrained idea to do a podcast, I reached out to Barry Donegan. I was like, hey, man, I'm thinking about doing a podcast. Will you be my first guest? He said, absolutely. And then he turned around and came back on, I believe, episode 50, and was my presidential correspondent throughout all of the 2016 presidential election. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Huge thank you to him. Billy Gray, episode 2. Episode 3 was Frank Novinick of Hatebreed. You know, 3 episodes in, already getting members of Hatebreed. That blew my mind right there. And, you know, 4, Fred Corey, Cinderella. 5 was Bobby Burns, Primer 55. 6 being Chris Kale of Five Finger Death Punch. So within the first 6 episodes, huge names. Yes, a lot of those early episodes were taken down due to poor audio, but they're still out there somewhere. You could probably find them. I do want to say thank you to everyone that's been on the podcast, that's agreed to come on the show. Can't say it enough, man. Blows my mind that a crazy idea I had on my couch one day turned into 3 years of this. Blabbermouth headlines, RollingStone.com using my stuff. Alternative Press has used some stuff. Anytime this whole Injustice for All talk kind of popped back up, and not only one but 2 episodes of Talk To Me have been quoted in those episodes. And that stuff, you know, it's just like, it fuels the emotional gas tank to keep doing this each and every week, because I don't get paid to do this. I do this for the love, you know, and for the Patreon money that I get each week. But so it's fun, man. And if you guys are enjoying the podcast, reach out and say it, you know, because I know I try to respond to everybody that reaches out. And I know there are a lot more listeners than people that reach out. So if you've listened this far, man, drop me a note on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and just say, hey, keep it up. Keep up the good work, man, because it's a lot of fun doing this each week. We will get into Rob Rivera's pick from the kit momentarily, but I did want to say once again, huge thank you to Glenn Benson for coming on the podcast. Let's check out some new Deicide right now, get into our interview with Glenn Benson, and then check out Rob Rivera's pick from the kit, and I will talk to you guys momentarily.
Friends.
Brian Benton, welcome back to Talk To Me. If you remember a couple of years ago, you made a couple of Corey Taylor comments on this podcast. So,
welcome this guy. Back. Oh, you're that one. Oh, great. No. I knew that name sounded familiar when I was looking at that list. I'm like, oh, great. All right. So we're not going to bait Glenn Benton into making any statements like that. So,
hey, man, if you go back and listen to that, I didn't ask you a single thing about that.
I know, dude. Yeah. But people just run with it. It's like, what people don't understand is like when I grew up, man, when we were kids and that, man, we used to call each other names like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was none of this political correctness bullshit or anybody, but everybody, like I say, man, it was taking a little harsher than I wanted it to be taken.
Right. No, it was fun, man. Actually, that whole press cycle, I think, kind of put this podcast on the map. So I definitely appreciate you. And this
hey,
is the,
thanks
it's the,
Glenn. It's like, hey, yeah, no, they brutalized you. I'm like, oh God, just pull the shades down, honey. No.
And it is by far the most downloaded episode of this podcast. So,
oh, great, fantastic. Yeah, well, we'll stay away from that. I mean, that was a learning experience for myself. So, right. From now on out, man, I just don't let anybody. I catch myself before I go into those things and that. But
I'm assuming it wasn't as fun for you as it was for me. But yeah, kind of getting his rebuttal, I was like, wow, he's actually having to comment on something said on my little show.
Dude, he's going to make a cookbook out of this,
Fantastic, man. Well, let's go ahead and let's jump into Overtures of Blasphemy out September 14th, Century Media Records. Man, life is good. New Deicide, songs about Satan. I'm loving it, man. I love it.
Yeah, it's a great record, man. It came together beautifully, and we were able to take things to another level.
Yeah, it definitely did, man. And that's the one thing that I got from the album, being a fan since the early 90s, the evolution of Deicide has been fun to watch. But, I mean, where you guys are currently is in a great spot.
Absolutely. Things are running smooth. Touring goes smoother. It's just a great time to be doing this. We got a great record. Everybody, had a great time, participating in it. And, yeah, man, it's a fun record. It's fun to play. And, yeah.
And depending on what year, you consider the band starting, I mean, it's a 30-year career in death metal, which is, I'm assuming in the late 80s, early 90s didn't seem feasible, but it's pretty crazy how the, music has evolved and, heavy stuff is even more palatable now and people are more into this style of music than they were even in the early 90s.
I'm waiting for them to use one of my songs for a butter commercial. I can't wait. I mean, I never thought when I first heard a Motorhead song for a car commercial. I'm
right.
Like, man, thanks for changing. Well, it was actually the Who. I heard the Who. Mm-hmm. It was like the Who or somebody or Sabbath or somebody. I'm like, wow, man. It's like, yeah, shit's starting to change.
Yeah, even
people aren't as scared as they used to be.
Yeah, all of that, and then you've got, my son and I were watching, Thor the other day, and, they got a big Led Zeppelin part in it and stuff. I'm like,
oh,
wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep, so, yep.
It's crazy how all this is moving along, and actually, I'm looking at a pile of Road Crew beer merchandise that I got sent the other day, so, metal is branching out into coffee and beer, and, Chuck Billy's got weed products out there.
We need a Glenn Benton tampon is what we need.
Well, I don't think you would ever want to stop the bleeding, though. I think you would want to. That's almost anti-Glenn Benton, right?
No, I have a pancake mix or something to put my face on it.
There you go. Deicide pancakes.
Oh, better watch out, man. It's going to be all over Blabbermouth. Glenn Benton pancakes.
Glenn Benton talks about wanting to start a pancake
Glenn
mix.
Benton said something bad about pancakes.
Oh, Lord. The one thing I've noticed is a lot of the heavier guys are kind of going to Jason Suecof for a long time now. And, is he kind of becoming the new Morrison, the new Scott Burns?
He's been the Scott, but he grabbed the torch from Scott. So, yeah. Yeah, boy, I mean, it's got, you know, like I say, working with Jay is, it's always a unique experience in that. He's a very unique individual, and it's a good time. It's a relaxed time. It's like, you know, it's like Morrisound meets Amsterdam Coffee Shop.
Nice.
You know, so it's kind of, you know, there's no, it's like not like when you get in the cab and he starts the meter. It's like you just show up when you get there, and it's like you can be there like 10 minutes and be like, you know what, fuck this. I'm going to go get something to eat and come back 3 hours later, and they still aren't ready to go, so.
Well, the one thing I did notice about the press release is that, you know, the basic tracks were put down, and then 7 months later you come back in with vocals. You know, what was going on in that 7 months? You know, what was the hold up there?
Well, it was a lot of scheduling shit, man, with Jay. You know, he's got bands coming in, he books way in advance of that, so it's like you got to work around his schedule. Mm-hmm. You know? So that is basically, I mean, it's what took so long is working around his schedule, and then we book shows, and then, you know, it was just really, you know, scheduling conflicts all the way around. And it's a lot of driving, man, from where we are to go to the studio and that. So it's a lot of, driving, man.
And with a 7 month gap like that, did you show back up and maybe hear things you had almost forgotten about, or hear it maybe even in a different light? You know, when you walk away from something for a while and you listen to it again, you hear it a little bit differently.
Are we talking before or after the vocals?
I would say, let's go with both.
Oh, well, no, I mean, everything was smooth. I mean, when it comes to working with Jay, man, I mean, we're getting shit, you know, we hit shit. You know, first time around, man, there's no, you know, it's a very professional, I mean, it's a very professional situation, man. So it's, you know, it's just getting done right as you go. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, there's no going back to it. And Jay likes to, you know, he spent a long time mixing the album, man, a long time.
The one thing, another thing in the press release that I loved was the quote about the older you get, you thought you would mellow out, but you've actually become darker and a little bit more evil. And
what fucking happy old people do you fucking know?
I guess I don't.
I mean, really, it's like there's the fucking road to happiness is definitely not in your golden years. I can assure you.
You know, I just think it's funny because I'll be 40 next year, and the older I get, the more I still tend to go back to, you know, to the metal and even the newer stuff that's coming out that's heavy. Is, you know, you would think by now I should just be relaxed and listening to some CCR or something, but no, I've gone heavier too.
Well, I mean, as far as like listening to stuff, I'm not like, I'm just talking about just my mean spirited shit going on. I mean, the music wise, I just listen. I just do the DSI stuff. Mm-hmm. And that. If I use music for anything, it's just to relax or to occupy my mind between, you know, the house and to the bank or wherever the fuck it is I'm going at. But I can't, you know, I listen to, I can't, you know, when I'm doing records, man, I can't listen to music because it influences my, and it confuses, my mind's always spinning on lyrics and music. And so if I listen to other people's music, it kind of throws things off. So, yeah, I can only, I'm really good just listening to the wheels in my brain clicking and twisting.
I guess that was kind of one of the things that I think you and I talked about that last time about, like, you know, I asked you about the current state of heavy metal and you're like, I don't really listen to it as much, but I can tell you're at least in tune with like kind of the current state of the world. And I can definitely see that kind of, you know, putting a lot of people into dark places.
The world. Yeah. Yeah. What a pile of shit.
There we go.
Yeah.
But I mean, did that bleed over into the lyrics of this album? Did that,
listen, absolutely. I mean, people need to say, we had a writer yesterday asking me, he's like, hey, so I heard you, you know, I read this somewhere that you drew from your personal experiences and shit. And he's like, did you care to elaborate? And I'm like, well, no, that's kind of why they call them personal experiences. So, no, I mean, I've had, you know, like I said, all my family have, you know, dropped dead, disappeared. And all my friends are dropping dead on a daily basis. And it's just very, I don't know, man. I'm waiting for the fucking, when's the fun going to start? You know, where's, you know, I keep fucking having this fucking, like, you know, like, you know, and what the fucking, that movie, Carlito's Way. You know, like he's all he wants to do is get his ass on that fucking train so him and his chick can get to a fucking Caribbean island somewhere and eat crab and fucking sell t-shirts and shit. Fucking, you know. I hope I can make it there before fucking Benny Blanco jumps out and shoots me in the stomach.
Well, I mean, that's why we have to get this Glenn Benton pancake mix up off the ground so
you can do that. Yeah, I'm thinking that or some kind of like non-dairy product, like, you know, coffee creamer or something.
There you go. You know, I did listen to an interview that you did a couple of days ago about this new album, and the one thing that jumped out at me that is kind of old school was, you know, you guys talked about writing the new album and then actually going into rehearsal and hashing it out, which I think is a lost art, and I was so happy to hear you say that you guys actually, you know, wrote in a room together and not just, you know, through MP3 files.
No, man, like, if I write one, I bring it there, and I show it to Kevin, and then me, Kevin, and Steve work out the fundamentals of it, and same goes for Kevin's songs and Steve's songs, and we all kind of, like, play through them. It's like, hey, listen, you know, if one of us has a problem with something, we mention it, or we make it better, or whatever, but... Yeah, I mean, this was handled a lot more. It's like one of those, you know, like what it used to be, you know, getting together, having a good time, and, you know, writing a record, you know, having fun doing it, you know what I mean? Where there was no preconceived notion or anything, just, you know what, we don't care. You know, that's the best attitude to have. I said this in another interview. It's like, you know, it's like I've been to the casino several times where it's like I go and I get fucking stripped. You know, it's like my last 10 fucking dollars, like I'm heading out of that place with my tail between my fucking legs. And I take that $10 and it's happened to me a few times. I'll put it in a slot machine and be like, yeah, fucking max bet. Who gives a fuck? And then bling, bling, bling. I win fucking a few grand. You know what I mean? It's happened like that. I don't know how many fucking times, you know. That's kind of how I like treated this album. It's like, you know what? What do we have to fucking lose?
Right.
You know, let's write a fun record. Let's write a record that, you know, like we enjoy. Let's write for us. Let's write for making us happy. Because if we're happy, maybe other people will be happier. And it's like, you know, the thumbs uppers and the thumbs downers on YouTubes and all that kind of shit. It's like, listen, we got a lot of thumbs up and after these fucking new songs. And I'd rather write songs for those people than that 160 thumbs down, you know, crowd.
Yeah. It's funny how many people don't realize that the artist actually sees those thumbs ups and thumbs downs.
Well, you have to think to yourself, how many of those thumbs downs are Corey Taylor? You know what I mean? You have to think, how many of those thumbs downs are my ex-wives? How many thumbs downs are the, you know, people that have taken, you know, miscellaneous punches and slugs and kicks from me over the years? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's gotta, you know, the, you know, former divorce attorneys, you know, I mean, I explained to Steve, like, dude, listen, don't take those thumbs down the wrong way. Those are just people that we know and hate us, you know.
Well, I'm assuming the former divorce attorneys probably enjoyed your services with the checks that they got at the end.
Not from me, they did.
Right. They think
maybe from their client, maybe, but not from me. And so... there's a lot of people that probably, you know, it's like it's a lot of that stuff is like, you know, people that, you know, like they're rushing you out of building and you didn't shake enough hands and shit. And like, that guy's a dick. I'm thumbs down. You know, so I can't think that there's that many people that are that fucking narrow minded to metal that be like, you know what? This just sucks, dude. I'm going to give it a thumbs down. You know?
I don't know, man. That's the only bad thing about metal to me is the absolute like elitism of metal. And you know, there's videos of going around of like it's a younger girl, she's wearing a Nirvana shirt, and like some guy's like playing her a Nirvana song and kind of shaming her as in like, you know, who is this? And she doesn't know who it is. So it's like it's kind of mocking her for wearing the Nirvana shirt. And then there's
we kind of did that to people that wore Harley Davidson shirts and didn't have a Harley Davidson. Yeah, I get it.
And so I always kind of I look at that video and I kind of look at it the other way around. I'm like, you know what? That girl thought that was a cool shirt, and she might have gotten into metal, or she might have gotten into Nirvana, and that Nirvana might have turned
until this douchebag come by and ruined it for her. Right.
So that's, you know, you got to kind of take that metal elitism out of it and the douchebaggery out of it, and kind of be more accepting, be like, oh, cool shirt, and maybe show her that hard rock and metal can be inviting and then not so much not so elitist.
I mean, man, you know, I call it that, you know, I mean, there is a crowd of people, man, they like that one dimensional metal that's just nothing but blast beat and there's not, like you say, man, it's, you know, to each his own that, but I like music that moves me. Mm-hmm. I like shit that's memorable. I like the, you know what, I like to be able to say, man, I can't wait to hear that again. When was the last time you said that about a lot of that one dimensional shit? You know, you're like, oh, okay. All right, put it back on. I like writing. When I was a kid, man, listening to shit, I always like the catchy stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing too with the style of music you guys play. It's easy to just sit there and do a blast beat and do some death metal growls over it and a fast guitar part. But what you guys end up doing is you add an element of groove into it and vocal hooks and things like that stick out and has always made Deicide stick out.
Right. Well, yeah, man. I mean, listen, it has to be fun. I mean, after all these years of doing this, man, if you were to say to me, hey, you know what, that's all I have, that's my only option, I'd give it up, man, because I just, I have to, this is all about getting better, mm-hmm. It's all about making, it's all about people kind of get away from the whole reason why we're doing this, and it's so people can enjoy what we do. And if you're writing an album that's only got one or two songs that people enjoy, fuck, what is that, man? So That's why we put this album together like an album full of singles,
Yeah, and I agree. I believe it. Yeah, you definitely, and especially in a band at 30 years in, how many ever albums in, you guys could definitely, you could easily write one or two good songs and then move on to, then move on to just playing catalog songs live.
I just say, man, it's when it comes down to it, it's like, listen, we're going to write an album full catch, and everybody enjoyed doing it. It came together easy, man, because when you're writing songs that are fun, man, that shit's, it's fun putting it together. It's fun to play. It's fun to write to it,
So with the album coming out, and you guys were talking about touring and stuff earlier, what's kind of the Deicide plan? How far out are you guys planning?
I just actually was looking at an email from my agent right now about some possible openers and that mm-hmm. package for the U.S. tour. I have nothing definite right now. I got people working on the Europe thing. We wanted the album to come out and everybody to get accustomed to it, before we come back out again.
Right.
And I want people to, when they hear it, it's like be able to sing to it and, sing along with it and that. And when you rush right out, like a lot of bands do, it's like they got a record and it's like, it's like they're out touring for it a week before it releases.
Yeah.
People don't even know what the hell you're doing.
And then a lot of people YouTube that stuff. And then so the first chance they hear a new song is through a crappy cell phone and you got to go with that too. So,
I say let everybody enjoy it. And then we're going to come out and I think it should add for, add for better tours and better money, better turnouts.
So with Slayer being on their final tour, I see that Obituary got some of the European dates. When is Deicide going to get some of those dates? Because that makes total sense right there.
From what I understand, those guys don't like having bands that have similar bass player singers touring with them. That's what I was told.
Really? That seems like a weird stipulation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we played with those guys years ago, but not on the same stage or at Dynamo.
Okay.
And I remember Kerry King's guitar tech was a huge Deicide fan. He kept calling Kerry and shit. But I got to meet Tom, and, I didn't. That was about it. But that's the extent of all that.
All right. A couple last things. I know you got to get off to rehearsal and nail down some of these songs for an upcoming tour, but a couple of things I came across today. Legion is considered the second highest selling death metal album of all time. What are your thoughts on that? That's a pretty insane plaque to have on the wall, I guess.
I'm pretty sure the first album was, but like I say, that was before all the people started counting and shit.
Well, so I think it said the highest selling death metal album in the SoundScan era. So I think, I think 91 is the SoundScan era. So the first one sort of wouldn't be in it.
Yeah. The first one didn't get counted as well, but it's definitely up there with the rest of them.
You were right behind Cannibal Corpse. So I'm assuming Ace Ventura had a lot to do with
they're
that.
They're behind me.
Oh, that's too much fun, man. But looking back on that, looking back on Legion, man, that is a masterpiece of a record.
Well, we had most of it written, man, before the while we were, when we were working on the first album.
Mm-hmm.
So most of that was written. I mean, So it was, I was just like, okay, you need another record? Here you go.
Right. Yeah, definitely jumped right out. And then onto Overtures of Blasphemy. This is the last record on Century Media. Do you guys have plans, you know, talking already to anybody or thoughts of, you know, putting it out independently?
Well, we have been told that they want to renegotiate a deal with us, which we're open to, and that we're open up to all offers in that. And if that doesn't turn out to go that way, then we'll just pay to record the record ourselves and then, you know, sell the licensing and stuff on, do it that route, you know.
Well, Glenn, man, it's been fantastic. Anytime you ever need anything or some promotion, definitely let me know. And I'm sure we can get it out there. And once again, man, thanks for the last interview. Thanks for this interview. And
you're welcome,
and,
brother.
Man, thanks for everything you've done for the show.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
All right, Glenn, take care.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
What's up, everybody? This is Rob Rivera from the band Nonpoint. This is Rob's pick from the kit here on the Talk to Me podcast. I'm currently in Secaucus, New Jersey on a day off we're right in the middle of our tour with He Is Legend and Letters from the Fire, a Chaos and Earthquakes tour. Tour's going amazing. Tomorrow we're at The Chance in Poughkeepsie. Then Friday we're in Hartford, Connecticut at the Webster. Then on Saturday we're at the Brighton Music Hall in Boston, Massachusetts. And then on Sunday we're in Wontagh, New York. I think that's how you pronounce it, at Mokahi's. I think that's how you pronounce that. So that's in the Long Island area. Check out nonpoint.com for all tour dates and nonpointstore.com for all soundcheck VIPs. So, moving forward, my pick of the week is Deicide, Dead by Dawn. I saw Deicide many years ago. I actually worked as a loader at one of the shows in Fort Lauderdale at the Prop Room, and probably one of the most brutal death metal shows that I've ever seen. That, along with Morbid Angel and At the Gates, I've never seen anything more brutal live in the death metal genre than those three shows. And Deicide just absolutely crushed it. I believe the original lineup was there. Glenn Benton is just one insane frontman, and I'm not a huge follower of death metal. I like some of it, but not a big fan. But I do like some of the bands that I do like are probably some of the pioneering bands like Death and Pestilence, Deicide, Morbid Angel, Cannibal Corpse, are like the bigger bands, Malevolent Creation, stuff like that. But anyway, here's Dead by Dawn by Deicide. Make sure you start a nice little mosh pit in your head when you listen to this, and yeah, enjoy. Deicide, Dead by Dawn.
right, once again, huge thank you guys for checking out the podcast each and every week. This has been an amazing 3-year anniversary show. Thanks to Rob Rivera for continuing to do his pick from the kit. And huge thank you to Glenn Benton of Deicide for not only being a guest on the podcast, for also just being an amazing human and an amazing musician with an amazing band. Make sure to check out the new Deicide album once it's out. Check them out on tour. Hopefully they will be coming through town on that tour, and I will get a nice photo with Glenn or whatnot. And for the Talk To Me podcast, I've been Joshua Toomey. Thank you guys for listening for the last 3 years. Talk to you soon. You're welcome to this week's episode of Talk To Me. I am your host, Toomey. Obviously, I'm on the microphone talking to you through your headphones, through your stereo, however you're getting this podcast, and I'd like to thank you for listening this week. This week, I've got a great guest. His name's Barry Donegan. He's very political, very musical. He sings in the band Look What I Did. He writes for the website truthinmedia.com. Even if you want to get your personal trainer fix on, he can do that for you. If you want to get some big muscles and some six-pack abs, look to Barry. If you want to get your heart screamed out, look to Barry. If you want to read something about something political, you go to Barry. So without further ado, here's my wonderful conversation with Barry Donegan.